Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with, are not all these which speak Galileans? How y'all doing? Good. First of all, this begins, I got so much I want to deal with this morning. Okay. The day of Pentecost. You know, God does everything on purpose. The fact that he chose the feast of Pentecost 9 plus 1 to get to 50, and the word Pentecost literally means 50. Okay? Now, two things happened, okay? During the feast of Pentecost, one of the things that was happening was they were also celebrating the wheat harvest, okay? So they had to bring a first fruit offering. But this is the one time God tells them what the offering is to be. They are to take wheat and convert it into something else. And in the process of converting it, they got involved, and that's why sin was involved. You understand? But they were still expected to give. So to make the offering acceptable, they had to give a sin offering so that the bread offering would be received as a pure offering unto God, because the sin was already covered for. But what you need to realize is that on this Pentecost, and so God was saying, listen, Pentecost is the day that I show you how to take stuff from the spiritual and transfer it into the natural. But because it's in the natural and you are sinners, you're going to be involved. So you got to offer another offering to make sure that what you transferred is not contaminated by you. So there would be a clean transfer from the spiritual into the... And see, God has always wanted a group of people who knew how to transfer all the blessings from his realm into the natural realm. And that's really what the day of Pentecost is all about. God empowering his people with the ability of transformation. And so now they were all that something was about to happen. So suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And one translation, I think it's the Message, that says it was a gale force wind. See, this was no mild. This was no mild just gust of wind. This was a rush, literally. And here's the thing I want you to understand. God is getting ready to do something to a group of people. And here's the thing, because this word also means breath, this is the thing that brought to my heart and mind when I got to think of it. God is about to do a new thing in new people. Yeah, yeah. He's about to do a new thing, something like it's never happened before to the average person. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. And when I thought about the fact that God be, but if you think about it, when the plague of locusts came, God caused the wind to blow to bring the locusts. But then when Pharaoh asked Moses to get rid of locusts, God sent another wind to blow the locusts out. When they got to the Red Sea, and Moses didn't know, God said, use what I gave you. The Bible says that a wind came and parted the sea. See, anytime the wind shows up all at once, it says in the wind, listen, and it filled all the house where they were seated. So first the breath comes, the inspiration, the wind of God, and it goes directly where it was assigned to go, into the house. Now, I don't know what them walls were made out of, but I want you to understand something. It was on fire, but not consumed. Again, fire is a type of the presence of Almighty God. Okay? When Elijah was dealing with the prophets of Baal, the whole issue, listen, let the God who answers by fire be God. Now God is showing up with fire again. But this time, he's not showing up in a bush. He's the tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let me correct some misconceptions here. If I give you something, who has it? If the Spirit gave them utterance, who had the utterance? See, the Holy Ghost didn't blow nobody's mouth open. When they entered the room. First of all, gale force winds ain't never quiet. Now imagine you sitting in a room. You hear this sound outside one moment. And then it's inside with you the next moment. Then you look at the guy next to you, and he got a flame over his head. And he looking at you because you got one. When we minister the baptism, if I can get you to open your mouth, can help you receive. But if you don't start saying, the Holy Ghost ain't going to talk for you. Here's the other thing, and now I want to get back to this. I want to spend some more time on this, but I want to just go back a little. I'm going to go on a little further first. They were dwelling in Jerusalem at that dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men of every nation under the heaven. But here's the thing. Okay, so now you know God got this whole group here. Now, when this was noised abroad, this is what I want you to get. One of the other purposes of the racket was to draw attention to not just the people inside, but God was doing something, and y'all need to find out what it is. Because think about it, you up the street are trouble averse. They'll figure whatever that is, I don't need to be next to it, and I'm out of here. You know, my wife was telling me when 9/11 happened, she had one of her coworkers. She didn't ask no questions. She just grabbed up her bag and left. She ain't asked no questions. She, if they bombing stuff, I ain't going to be in stuff. That's the way some folks think, you know. But other folks, you got to find out. You had to come up the street to hear what was. But see, what drew you up the street was the signs and wonders. But what got you to hear the message? Y'all ain't feeling me. See, if it hadn't been for the signs and wonders, they would have never came to hear the message. See, there's a purpose for signs and wonders. And every time I hear one of these theological morons say that miracles have been done, they didn't just say they ain't from our country. They was real specific. They said they are Galileans. Okay, Jim Wood's translation. How are these hillbillies? Where was Jesus from? Nazareth. No good thing coming out. But he was not of Galilee. So he didn't speak Galilean. But here's the good news for us. I don't care if you feel like a hick from nowhere, USA. The Holy Ghost will empower you to deal with people that are of a different color. You know, some scholars say, well, it was just the 12 that was speaking. Well, first of all, it was more than 12 languages being spoken. Okay, unless somebody was speaking two languages simultaneously. See, the Bible's, now I'm going to mess y'all up here. I'm going to mess y'all all the way up just when you thought you was having a good day. The Bible says they were all filled. Some of them were speaking in a language that was not of somebody that was there. See, so those scholars that say, well, the gift of tongues is only to speak to people in a foreign language for event, you stupid. There had to be some folks there that wasn't speaking, and they were speaking a language that there was nobody there representing. But it ain't stop them from speaking. Because they were all filled, and they all began. And an angel shows up to him and says that his alms have come up as a memorial before God. In other words, he is such a giver that his giving is standing in the presence of God. In other words, it's got God's attention. I find it interesting that the first person that God sent, angels, it don't apply to them. See, only the redeemed can tell the redemptive message. So the angel had to point him out to somebody who was already redeemed to tell him how to get saved. Now, Peter, being a good Jew, wouldn't be caught dead in a Gentile's house. They wouldn't shake hands with a Gentile. They wouldn't even drink milk from a cow to Gentile, nothing unclean. Now, see, he's so Jewish that he gonna tell God, the stuff you brought me to eat, I ain't eating, because it ain't right. So God got to send it down to him again. Finally, he still ain't getting it, because finally God says to him, don't you call what I sent. This is Jim. I wasn't there, but this is me. I believe they ain't telling until he was on his way that they was going to a Gentile's house. Because even when Peter got there, he didn't exactly present himself in the most joyous, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus way. Because if you get down to verse 44, it says, while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. So Peter hadn't even finished his message. Because see, I wasn't there. But I'm convinced when Peter finished, he was going to leave. Because they were all, listen, when Cornelius sent for Peter, Cornelius was already ready to be saved. He just wanted to know. Are y'all? All right, now listen. Well, the Holy Ghost fell on with them. And they of, listen, and they of the circumcision, come on, come on now, I love this, and magnify God. So now, I got a question, who's there, now you remember it's Cornelius' whole family, so if they all speaking, and they're not all speaking in the same dialect. You get any group of people together and they start praying in the spirit, everybody going to have the same. Trust me, people have tried. Now watch this. Then answered Peter, can we forbid water for these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. Now, here's the point I want you to get right here. See, you would think I wouldn't have to say stuff like this. But even recently, I heard somebody talking about that. Well, you know, if they ain't baptized, Jesus come, they going to hell. So what you saying is that the blood of Jesus plus water. So the blood was inadequate. In other words, you trying to tell me a natural substance gives you a spiritual benefit. Let's go to Acts chapter 19. if I was in the right Bible. That would help. There you go. All right. Now watch this. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast. Amen. Y'all with me? I equate it like this. When you got born again, we used to have a house that had a vestibule. Remember vestibules? Nobody's house has those anymore. We had a vestibule, okay? Now, if somebody came to the door, we would go in, especially if it was cold outside, we would step in the vestibule, close the door, and then open the front door because you ain't want to. And that's why tongues is so important. See, the Bible tells us in the book of James that the tongue no man can tame. Well, what proof that there's a new trainer in town than having you speak in a language you don't know? But also the Bible tells us that the tongue is just like the rudder of a ship that sets the course for your life. What better way for God to declare in your life is on a new course than you and you get filled with... Listen, they were John the Baptist. I'm in the Bible. Who baptized? John the... What was his denomination? Okay. Y'all said that. I didn't see that. I never said that. Y'all said that. And they said under John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that ye should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ. Okay? So John's, basically, if you got baptized under John's baptism, it was a declaration. If they heard this, they were all baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay? So now they're declaring a recognition of who Jesus is. Okay? And so they're getting baptized. This is the public declaration of their belief that the Christ is, all right? Now listen. And when Paul had laid his hands on them. See, this is after they got baptized. Fluently in tongues. And then they started prophesying. I'm like, whoa. They started prophesying. I had never heard that. The first time I saw it, I was like, oh, that's what happened. It don't mean that some prophesied and some spoke in tongues. They all spoke in tongues, but some of them also went on and prophesied. Okay? All right? Let's see. Okay? They spoke in tongues, and all the men were about 12. All right, now, listen. Not the rest of you. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 2, and I'm done because my time is up. Verse 8 says, and how hear we every man in his own tongue wherein we were born? The Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, them speak. Listen, them speaking was not what they were talking about when they said the word. What they heard them speaking was about the wonderful works of God. Y'all with me? And they were all amazed. And we're in doubt. Some, listen, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mock, saying they be filled with new wine. But Peter, standing up, listen, we started talking because that's what they did in the upper room. They were doing the talking, not the Holy Ghost. Ye men of Galilee, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing that it is the third hour of the day, 9:00. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, if your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy, how you going to forbid women to be in the ministry? How you going to say what women can't do if the Holy Ghost is on them to do it? You know, some people read the Bible and don't read it. They read at it. Oh, you know, women ain't supposed to preach. Please, shut up. God is going to be using everybody. Here's the thing I need to get, and I'm done, because we out of time. If God's plan is to use folks from every nation under the sun, he is not excluding you. See, there's no such thing, different functions in the body, but there's no such thing as I'm a spirit-filled do-nothing. Because if you're a spirit-filled do-nothing, you wrong. And you need to get right. You need to apologize to God. See, God is the perfect businessman. He don't put nothing in something he don't expect to get something out of. Ain't no such thing. See, y'all do, I've talked about the wheat, and they had to make it bread, and that was transferring stuff from the spirit into natural, and that's why God filled them with the Holy Spirit, so that they would have the conduit connecting to the